This is 69 the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been online now for more than a decade, writing about the digital signage industry and filtering the BS. Now it's also a podcast, a chance to talk to smart people doing interesting things in this business. You can listen to episodes online, grab it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to grab the RSS feed. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. A couple of years ago, an old industry friend of mine, Rafi Varshan, said I really needed to see something. He sent me a link to a video, I watched it, and I sent back a note saying roughly, "That's freaking brilliant." The video was for a corporate communications project at the Blinds.com offices in Houston, Texas, and it showed staff-facing messaging being done in a way I'd never seen. The guy behind that was and is Brad Parler, a video production geek who got an entry-level job just to pay the bills and stuck his hand up when the company decided to add digital signs through the facility and needed some content. Now he's getting asked to speak at conferences and doing what he can to spread the gospel about the importance of populating screens with truly good, attention-grabbing, effective content. We spoke recently by Skype. So Brad, your background's in video production, right?
Yes, I started in video production with having my own production company that I ran as a solo producer, editor, videographer, bringing in hands as I needed them, a lot like what I do here at Blinds.com, but also with a connection to internet technology, web publication, blogs, marketing, and sales. So not just web video production, but that was a very, very strong point of my background.
Okay, so how did you end up at Blinds.com?
Well, as a father of four, I was needing the stability. Going from project to project is great, but honestly, I needed a job. And I watched one of my colleagues who moved from the agency life over to Blinds.com and how much she absolutely loved it. And I found an opening within an entry-level position. I don't want to say I had an agenda, but I knew that my skills would lend themselves and finding a seat on the bus, not just as an entry level, once I got here. And so came in as a entry level salesperson and then just applied value to everything that I did. I completely killed it with what my daily tasks were, but we had this opportunity where we were moving from one location to another, and we, at the time, when we were using digital signage sparingly and as an experiment, and when we moved, we were going to double down and really explode what we were doing with digital signage, and that gave me an opportunity to have a pilot program and really test the waters and what it was that we were able to do. I wasn't into a full-time role in doing what it is that I do now until almost 2 years into being at Blinds.com.
So how did you end up doing it? Did they know you had a video background and said, hey, Brad, you seem to know something about this? Or, you know, how did that all play out?
I made it known. It was a no is always free. And so I love to look for ways in which I can apply my skill set and add value to where I'm at. And at the time, I was volunteering for everything because otherwise this would have gone into a marketing role. But marketing really exists within our company to make the phones ring and keeping sales coming in. And by me doing this, it leaves them to focus on these things. And it was still a test. It was we expanded out to 34 screens from 6. A lot of it was just saying, hey, I know how to do this. Will you give me a shot? Just give me an at-bat.
Okay. So in most, damn near every corporate communications network that I have seen directly or seen case studies about, they're all doing the same sort of thing. It's motivational messages. Yeah. It's data on a screen showing something or other. How did you end up doing what you're doing? What was the thinking behind it? And maybe because a lot of people listening to this won't be familiar with it, tell them how you started out, or like what was on the screen and how different it was and is.
Yeah, at the time I went out and once I knew I was going to have that at bat and give the opportunity of having this test, I went out and looked at everything that I could find, and to be really honest, I hated it.
What was your brief? Did they say we want to communicate to our staff, but we don't want to do it the same old way as everybody else?
No, they didn't even say that. They said that they needed to understand how to put things on screens that would be meaningful, that would raise everybody to a level, you know, not just having attention, but it would add to people. The app, I wasn't given a specific brief. Mm-hmm. That was me creating something that I knew that it could be done. Everything that I saw in the landscape was boring PowerPoints, way too much stuff in zones, and data that's being vomited onto screens. Uh-huh. Going back from my television background, there is a style, there is a way to communicate on a screen that's effective, and it wasn't being done. It goes back to the content creator in me saying, what is the one thing that they have to get when they walk away from this, and how quickly and effectively can I say that?
Right. So rather than the boring old way, you and I believe it was the sales director sort of came up with the notion that let's make this feel like NFL football.
Yeah, on the rewards and recognition program that he was director of sales, Chris Blair, just gave me the challenge. And I think he was trying to throw me completely for a loop, not really realizing what my background was in producing things. He said, how can we make this as much like SportsCenter on ESPN as possible? And I just looked at him and was like, okay, game on, let's do this. So he and I cut a quick test on a green screen. It was completely rudimentary, like really down and dirty on a little handy cam. Mm-hmm. Showed the proof of concept. This is what we could do, and I believe it will make people stand up and look on the floor like we are championing people's success, and people will want to do better because of it. And it took off from there.
So to visualize this, if I'm walking through the blinds.com offices, you look up at an employee recognition screen, and rather than it's having a mugshot of the person,
yeah,
saying Bob Smith is employee of the month or whatever, this looks like a player introduction for defensive lineman for the Houston Texans or something.
Absolutely. And so we took cues from and being a geek, I don't watch that much sports, and I never mm-hmm. produced sports television, so I had to do a lot of research. Many hours were spent on ESPN. It was fun. I took cues from how they present things, and there is live video of Bob Smith dancing on the screen because he's standing in front of a green screen. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing when people realize that they have this sense of purpose and they're gaining mastery in what it is that they're doing. That's, you know, you're tapping into some like ingrained things in people's ego. That's one thing. A lot of people out there are able to just put name and numbers on screens. Mm-hmm. But when you see yourself and your peers see you dancing on the screen because you just did this amazing feat in sales and you had a record breakthrough, you know, within that week, mm-hmm. it is absolutely mind-boggling how effective it's been. It's been crazy. It just taps into this it's ingrained thing within ourselves to want to do better because they saw someone else do it. Like, well, if they can do it, so can I.
So that's how you define effectiveness, that this made – this is like a version of gamification. I want to be on that screen. I need to sell harder to get there.
It's one of those things that I think that's a facet of it. I don't want to say that that's the only mm-hmm. thing that's at mm-hmm. play here, because every day someone within our customer engagement center, what most people would call a call center, they're getting a report in an Excel spreadsheet that shows them all this data. By visualizing it in a compelling way, we're tapping into things and making people do things that, I mean, it's been effective.
Okay. So you got the concept approved, and then you went through a process of, I believe, videotaping everybody in any kind of a customer-facing role in the company?
That's correct. And next month, we're doing everybody again. We're having a company-wide picture day. And it's not just people that are customer-facing within our customer engagement center. It's everyone in the company, because that project is now morphed to becoming who is the MVP for their team. And okay. So who is the MVP in accounting for this month?
All right.
We're championing people not just on these one KPIs, but it's something that people can, their leadership can nominate someone. And we want to champion people for what it is that they're doing, even though it's not customer facing.
And so when you got all these visuals of all the staff in front of a green screen, then and you shot it with like a red camera or something?
Yeah, I'm known for overdoing things. So I brought in a red Epic. It's the same camera system that Peter Jackson used on The Hobbit, then used in a number of Hollywood blockbusters. A lot of it in when you're standing in front of $250,000 of camera, your performance rises to a certain level. And even though it's not, our staff members, our associates are not people who are known for being in front of cameras. The intent is not to shock them into doing things that are outside of their character. Mm-hmm. But when you walk onto a set that I'm directing, I want you to know that you're walking into a set and the level of importance that you matter. I'm going to coach you through what it is that I need. I have markers built within my markers. I have my face plastered on different stands so that when I say, look at me smiling, that would represent their numbers on the screen. It's hard to really depict what it is that without looking at it. But if you go onto YouTube, search blinds.com signage live, it's a case study that I'm in that shows off that project.
Yeah. So you got this thing going. What all was the content mix that staff would see when that project first rolled out? What were the various elements?
We had a number of KPIs that we wanted to show off within sales, and then separate KPIs within our customer service. How many? So in customer service, we specific KPIs we have when it first launched, quality assurance score, not just how many customers are they talking to, but how well are they talking to those customers? And because everyone within our customer engagement center is on a form of performance pay, like not necessarily straight commission, but we pay people bonuses based on how well they're working. Mm-hmm. Even in customer service, which is rare from when I'm not usually from the call center world, but it's a rare thing that I'm being told that it's rare that it's that customer service representatives get a bonus like that. We wanted to show that off and show people who are performing in that. In sales, it's how much revenue are you generating? What is your close rate? What is your average sale value? That sort of thing. So you get those mixes of things. Mm-hmm. We also have a referral program within marketing that we're showing off who are the people who are giving out the most referrals and how much revenue are they generating from that. So it's also within those same mixes of that SportsCenter-like that feel.
Okay. So I'm going to walk through there and I'm going to see somebody who's a high performer in a particular area who's on the screen gesturing and pointing at their numbers, you know, saying, you know, look what I did.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So what else would they see?
They're also seeing company messaging in a non-boring fashion. Uh-huh. We don't have a lot of, majority of the motion graphics that you're going to see on our screens are around the reward and recognition program. You're also seeing our open enrollment HR communication from our people strategy team. We don't have human resources. We have people strategy at blinds.com.
Okay.
You're also seeing internal hashtag usage. I utilize a tool called Zoomf that looks at all of the social media feeds from Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I have hacks that work Pinterest pins into that as well. Mm-hmm. That's not native with the product. It's something that I built. What you're seeing on that is if you search in those social media spheres, hashtag blinds.comlife, blinds.comlife, you can get an inside look at how crazy it is to work at blinds.com and what it's like to live that life inside of our offices. So we want to show off. So what it's like to work here, live this life, and live out our core values. So we allow people to use that hashtag. We filter it in so you get a rotation of that. I also have polls. So I'm actively engaging with my audience, looking at the screen. There's a short URL at the top of it that you can go to and answer the question. The power in the polling that I'm doing isn't that it's there and you can see what people are saying. It's the power of knowing that you're being heard, because once you put in your answer, you can see it hit the screen because it's a live HTML5 display. Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking fun questions like, from a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you? And almost like the Baymax from Big Hero 6 display that he had across his chest, you know, are you in pain or are you super happy? that's been intriguing, just to see what the overall happiness barometer is within our within our staff. Also asking, okay, what is your favorite treat on the holidays? Or what show are you binge watching right now? Anything that I can do. And the poll is always active, but the question changes every Thursday. It's just the power of knowing that something's going to happen. The question's going to get asked, and my voice is being heard.
Right. So if you're in the offices, you're going to see this on some screens suspended from the ceiling on support columns. And there's also, I believe from memory from that video, there's some sort of a large video wall in an entry area or some sort of dwell area. So what's the mix that you have in the offices?
So we have a mix of half of the screens on the customer engagement center floor are general messaging. They'll have the MVP project, has the polls, has the hashtag, all of that stuff. The other half of the screens on the floor have phone system information because people are in line waiting to speak to someone who can help them. Mm-hmm. It's a customer engagement center. And so I'm showing live information of what's going on within our phone system specifically, and that's the only thing that screen does. Now, the video wall, the digital experience that you're talking about in the entry, is a 4.75-inch display, huge, 14-foot wide, 6.5-foot tall, monolith of customer feedback that we call the voice of the customer.
Okay.
That dwell area happens right outside of the entry area into our sales department. If you imagine the shape of a bow tie, if you're looking down at the shape of a bow tie, that's how our building is shaped. There's two major wings with a little connector in the middle. That digital experience that we call the voice of the customer is on one of the sides entering that wing.
And the strategy behind that is pretty much, as you're saying, it's to let workers know this is what our customers are saying about us?
Absolutely. Yeah, anybody could go onto social media and look for our brands and search through what people are saying. What we're doing and the aim of that experience is to visualize what it is that our customers are saying. And by visualize it, we're not just filtering out anything really. We're showing the good, the bad, and sometimes the ugly.
Okay.
We're humans and sometimes we make mistakes.
Well, maybe you do.
Maybe.
There's a bunch of costs involved in putting this podcast together, so I'm very grateful for the support this podcast will get from our new and sole sponsor, ScreenFeed. Here's founder and CEO, Jeremy Gavin.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. As content people, we love great content, and we think Dave's doing a great job with this 69 podcast, which is why we've offered to sponsor it. If you'd like to see the content that we create on a daily basis, head over to screenfeed.com and check it out. Let us know if we can help you in any project you're working on. And do me a favor, if you don't find what you're looking for, shoot me an email at jeremy@screenfeed.com. I'm always interested in new ways we can help. Now, back to the podcast.
So, given that you're doing all that, what's your role now? Like, if I was to say, okay, what do you do at blinds.com? What are you going to tell me in 10 words or less?
Every day I wake up with the focus on changing the way that a business talks to its customer, talks to its employees. I consider my customers the employees, and shapes ways that our employees can engage with the business.
So
that's taking a bigger role. It's not just on screens anymore. I'm also thinking about the creation of second channels of communication, thinking about how we can better leverage tools like email or not use them because I hate email. Mm-hmm. It's not just screens. It's a holistic approach of how a business communicates.
Okay. So if I've seen that video, if I've listened to this podcast to this point, I'm thinking this is really cool. This sounds really complicated and I don't have the skill set or the workers in my team to do any of this. So how do you respond to that sort of thing when, if you were asked about, well, could we do this too? Would you say, well, yes, you could, but this is what you need to kind of line up?
Yeah, I would say that anything worth doing isn't always easy. And you have to have the drive to put yourself in a position that's not going to be comfortable. If you are looking at a project like this, you have to first address why you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, start with that why and then figure out how the how, the what it is fall into place. But you have to absolutely know why you want to do this. There are companies out there that are getting better and with a better idea of content creation. There are agencies out there that can help you. But know that anything worth doing is not going to be easy at the get-go. You just have to be ready for that.
And from what you have told me, you know, there's a lot of video being rendered. These are experiences that you can bring to the table and your expertise using those kinds of software tools. But I'm also remembering that you said a lot of this now is being somewhat auto-generated. You mentioned HTML5. And so how labor-intensive is it to produce the necessary amount of content every week, or have you set it up in such a way that it kind of replenishes itself to some degree?
We are getting closer and closer to automating everything. A lot of that was figuring out internally where the data is and how it's being warehoused. We're still working through that. There's a huge team here that's working on that project. I equate a lot of what I do, because I've been doing it for so long, it doesn't take as long as what other people would be facing that. I get that. It takes a couple of hours for me to get out the next version of the MVP project. And right now it's being done manually because all the automation isn't in place, but it's dang close.
So that's a couple of hours a week?
Yeah. We're not doing everything as fast as I would like to. Again, being the overachiever. But I'm aggressively. So this one of the things that are on my roadmap is redesigning, because we've been living with the same look for quite a while, but I'm also designing for automation even more so. And so it represents a couple of hours a week, for sure. The other thing is, a lot of it is I'm creating ways for other people to create content within the enterprise. It will come to me and I will help them art direct it, but largely, like, the things for individual teams for screens in their spaces is we're increasing that distributed authorship. It's one of the things that's on my roadmap this year.
Right. So there was a lot of front-end work to get you to a point where you're at two hours a week, a lot of investment in templates and everything else. Realistically, if I'm a company that has, let's say, 1,000 employees and I'm in three offices, and I want to take this approach, I really want to do a better job of communicating with staff, what am I going to have to put in place? Am I going to have to put in a couple of people, or I'm just going to get somebody and get them to do this for a couple hours a week?
I would be prepared to build with 1,000 employees at multiple campuses, be ready to have some teams specifically in the campuses. I don't think that it's a wise thing to just have one person back at the home base. Because a lot of the things, there are things that are happening in those individual campuses that it needs local representation. Mm-hmm. And so I, just as, you know, from knowing now that we're on multiple floors and how there are certain things that happen on the floors that if I'm not there, if I'm not aware of it, it wouldn't be communicated. And so that just, you know, from my experience, I would say it's good to have local teams. And it's going to be a lot of front end work. It's going to be a lot of what you said as far as building those templates, building out all of the thinking and the programming of what happens when. And I would strongly advise build a playbook for what, you know, who are the players, what plays do we execute when, and what are the go-to things that we always build yourself that playbook so that you know when to communicate what.
Okay. And what does that person look like in terms of skill sets and, I guess, demeanor to some degree?
Well, they have to be a little nuts.
Clearly.
I'm not going to say, I'm not going to pretend to be normal. It's a bit of project management. It's a bit of overall PR and communications. And the other prong is that content development, understanding how to tell a story, how to build that narrative, and how to do that in a way that works for the medium that you're publishing on.
Yeah.
And so it's that three-prong approach of that content creator, project manager, communicator, all wrapped up into one, if I could really sum it up into that.
Yeah, I guess it's the same in digital signage in general. If you just put a guy who or a woman who's very strong in the IT and programming side of things, that's not going to solve the puzzle. You've got to have that creative bent.
I strongly believe so. Because it'll be very pragmatic and very logical, but you'll lose. And I would also say that the person who's going to take on that role has to have a really strong sense of the brand and the tone of how the company wants to speak. Because the internal brand is directly going to affect how your employees communicate your brand to external.
Right. So the work that you've done has attracted quite a bit of attention, and you've spoken at a number of conferences now about content, including the one I was running called Disrupted. When you've ended up speaking with people who've attended those conferences, what are they communicating to you? Have they shared the same kind of frustrations, or are they sort of seeing the world in a new light after you've kind of suggested don't do it that way?
Yeah, it's a bit of both. I can be a little brutal on the status quo, because I think that the ways in which we've been doing things, or the ways in which the industry has been doing things, needs to change. We need to create more compelling communication and content, and doing so and creating that engagement, not just vomiting things or yelling at people through a megaphone. It's that creating that loop. And so the reaction that I get from these conferences that I'm speaking at, it's a, wow, I didn't know it could be like that, and a mix of, holy crap, how did you pull that off?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So with, you mentioned HTML5, you mentioned how you're getting closer and closer to automation. What's going on in terms of technology that's making all of this more and more possible, not only for what you're doing, but for what other companies could or should be doing?
I'm strongly looking at the real-time video rendering space, and it's probably the most interesting thing that, to me, that's shaping the ways in which we're going to be publishing these sort of things, where it's not just dashboards, it's engaging content that's data-driven. And the thing that really stands out to me is a need for data to dictate what gets onto the screen, not just a programmer or a content creator saying, we need these things. So one of the things I'm experimenting with is with the way in which video games get made, and using Unity and the live, the thing that's really keeping me up at night watching videos and learning as much as I can on this stuff is the ways in which AR and VR are shaping. Mm-hmm. I think that we're a long way away from it being, we're probably 10 years away from it being customer facing, but I believe that people can leverage it for getting a view of these things and making it so that the data is depicting what happens in the experience next.
So with real-time video rendering, the distinction between that and, let's say, the sort of lightweight motion graphics that you get out of HTML5 is just that it's going to be that much more visually interesting and active?
I believe it can be. I think that we're on the cusp of it. It's not just HTML5. HTML5 is going to take us halfway there. I'm not convinced that the transitions and the motion is quite there yet.
Right.
On that. It's not going to look like the way that my full motion HD graphics are going to look.
Right.
Those will get through video boxes that are live spitting out content, creating a video feed. And we're tapping into that feed and then pushing data through that pipeline, where in real time, new things are being created because the data inputs are changing.
Hmm. And for when you're talking about this emerging technology, does that have any bearing on the kinds of decisions that network operators and systems integrators have to make around the kind of hardware and display technology, the playback hardware and display technology that they put in place? Or is it just video, and if it's a file is a file is a file?
Yeah, I think it is going to dictate what things are going to be, what player decisions get made. The ability to just play back HTML5 is a starter. The video feeds and everything else, I think it's going to require some robust players at the beginning, but it will get less. It's right now we're at really early days with the real-time video rendering stuff. It's something that I'm still looking at, but I want to be able to get to these lower-end, lower-cost players as we're getting more and more screens out there because of the cost factor. So it's going to be a horse and cart back and forth until we hit that happy medium. We just haven't hit that yet.
Right. So last question, you're insatiably curious and eager to do new things. What's going to happen with your network that you're running within the company over the next 6 to 12 months?
Man, that is the gotcha question, I think. It is a lot. So right now I'm in the midst of a build out for another floor. So we're adding another 50 screens to my network. I was doing a one-to-one player to screen layout. Mm-hmm. I'm now doing a video distribution model through a product called Just Add Power that is a transmitter receiver. So I have one head end and multiple outputs. Because mm-hmm. one of the things we realize is that a lot of my players are showing the same playlist.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily it's creating more things to manage. So I'm scaling that back on the second floor project. That's something that's happening. Go live is January 30th. And so we'll all have another 50 screens on my network powered through Signage Live and Just Add Power. The future of the content of what goes on, I'm planning for more video. I'm planning for real time. I'm planning for data-driven video where it's data making decisions, where and what just as a thing that I'm thinking about, showing the things that we know get eyeballs to the screen, what's going on in traffic as you're getting closer to when shifts end, what's happening with weather. I'm not necessarily interested in showing news because people are interacting with customers. They don't need to know necessarily what's going on with the Kardashians or whatever.
They never need to know that.
They actually, you're right. No one really ever needs to know that.
No.
No. But the more things I want to have data inputs that change what happens on the screen. If things are gloomy outside, I want to brighten the experience around my screen by changing the overall look and feel of the content. Okay. And so having weather inputs, not just showing the weather, but changing the content based on the weather is something I'm working toward.
All right. So if somebody wants to come and see you speak at something, what are the next couple of things you're doing?
I am speaking in Corporate Communication Expo. I have one talk there coming up in middle of November. You can also come and see me talk about content design for corporate communication at Digital Signage Expo next year.
Okay.
And a bunch of other places in between. We also host, if you're in the Houston area, go on to eventbrite.com and search blinds.com. We have a public tour that you can come in and check out all of the crazy projects that I've produced here and come and talk to me. I'm available. I make myself available during those public tours for people who want to have conversations about the best practices that we realized and talk about what it is, what things are going on in here, as well as what happens at where you're communicating.
All right, Brad Partler, thank you very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Dave. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and that you learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are both properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.